This is Mark Allison. I'd like to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. This week we have been studying what the Bible says about itself and how we are to interpret this book that God has written. We call this hermeneutics, that is the laws and principles of interpretation, and we want to continue on with that study today. And we noted that the undergirding of all of our study when it comes to hermeneutics is the way that we view the book itself. Do we view it as the infallible Word of God? And if we believe that it is the infallible Word of God, then that governs all of our thinking and really governs all of our rules. We believe that the Holy Spirit is the author of this book. It is clearly stated that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You see that in 1 Peter chapter 1. David himself said that the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was on my tongue. And we can go both in the Old Testament and New Testament and see that over and over and over again, those who were writing and those who were speaking were saying that the Lord was speaking through them. And so we have a book that claims to be God-breathed. That's what the word is in the Greek in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. We have a book that claims to be written by the Holy Spirit as he used holy men, as he bore them along, as he moved upon them and gave his word through them, a word that is more sure than anything that we could call even an eyewitness account. We have God's account of what has transpired. Well, if this word is written by God, both in the Old and New Testament, even though God used holy men, he didn't violate their will, he did not violate their personality, but he used those personalities to write his word, then we have to admit that if it's written by God, by the Holy Spirit, then it has to be without error. If it's written by God and the Holy Spirit, then there ought to be a unity between the two testaments. And so we said yesterday on the broadcast that we come to this book and we view this book as the New Testament completing the Old. The Old Testament gave us history, it gave us wisdom literature, it gave us prophetic truth or doctrinal truth, and that the New Testament has the same type of writings, and it's completing that which began in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit is bringing these other New Testament writings into being in order that they might be a capstone to that which was written in the Old Testament. More than that, we can also say that the New Testament is the proper interpretation of the Old Testament. This is, as it were, the final word of God to men, that is in written revelation. Obviously, God speaks through his providence to people, but when we speak of revelation, in his written revelation, this is the final word that God has given to us. And any time that the New Testament speaks of the Old, that New Testament is giving to us the proper interpretation of the Old Testament. Now, I know this is not a popular statement to make today among quote-unquote scholars who would say that the New Testament is reading things into the Old Testament that aren't there. And oftentimes when we deal with prophecy, there are those who, in looking at the New Testament, when it comments on the Old Testament, they would tell us that the New Testament writer didn't understand or was adding to the Old Testament things that really were twisting the Old Testament. For instance, you go to Acts chapter 2, where it's Peter is explaining what took place at Pentecost, and he's referring back to the prophecy of Joel, saying that that prophecy was fulfilled. There are those who would tell us it wasn't fulfilled. And now you have a contradiction between Peter and the writer in this new era who is telling us that what Peter said really showed that Peter was ignorant about what was going on in the prophecy of Joel. Well, if you say that Peter was not filled with the Holy Spirit, you could have Peter being ignorant. But if Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's clearly the indication in Acts 2, and if you're saying that Luke was filled with the Holy Spirit when he wrote the book of Acts, then what is written by the Holy Spirit in Acts is not going to contradict the book prophecy of Joel. Instead, it's going to give you the proper interpretation of that passage in Joel. Same thing can be said in Acts chapter 15, where you have James in the council at Jerusalem standing up obviously filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's speaking at that council, and he refers back to the book of Amos, and he says that this book of Amos, the ninth chapter, that you have seen the tabernacle of David being rebuilt, and there's this rushing into that tabernacle of Gentiles, and James is referring that to the evangelism of the Gentiles and the Gentile church as being the fulfillment of that passage there in Amos chapter 9. I want to take you today to another passage. This is found in Malachi chapter 4, and show you how the New Testament deals with this passage. Turn to Malachi chapter 4, and I want to read to you the last two verses of the Old Testament. The last two verses of the Old Testament. This is how God left the Old Testament. He left it with this prophecy concerning the coming of Elijah. Look at verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now there are those who, when they come to this passage of Scripture, would tell us it has not yet been fulfilled. And yet, when you come to the New Testament, it makes reference to this passage of Scripture on at least three different occasions. And in each case, it teaches us that the prophecy was fulfilled in the ministry of John the Baptist. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. You have Zacharias in the temple, and he meets with an angel there when he's by the right side of the altar of incense. This angel stands on the right side of the altar of incense, and he speaks to Zacharias, and he says in verse 13 of chapter 1, thy prayer is heard. And then he says that his wife, Elizabeth, would bear a son, and that he was to call the name of that son John, or that's an abbreviation for Jonathan, the gift of God. And then he says this about Jonathan, or John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Here he's going to be a Nazarite. He's not going to drink wine. That's one of the qualifications for a Nazarite. And he would be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, either in the womb or when he comes out of the womb, he would be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then it says this, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias. Now, that's our New Testament way of translating the word Elijah. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The angel is making reference to Malachi chapter 4, the last two verses of that chapter, and he's saying this passage is going to be fulfilled in the ministry of John the Baptist. John the Baptist will have the character of Elijah. He'll have the spirit of Elijah upon him. He's going to have a ministry like Elijah among the people, and he will turn the hearts of the people to the Lord. Now, our Lord did come, and of course this was fulfilled. That is, John the Baptist went throughout the nation, and he prepared the way of the Lord's coming. And in his preaching, there were many multitudes that were prepared for the coming of the Messiah. In Matthew chapter 17, our Lord revealed himself in his glory to the inner circle, you could say, three of the apostles there on the mount that we call the Mount of Transfiguration. But on the way down from that mount, his disciples asked him a question. We're reading now from Matthew in chapter 17 and verse 10. His disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias, again, the word Elijah, that Elijah must come first? Why do the scribes say that Elijah must first come? Why are they saying that? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Our Lord was familiar with what the scribes were saying, they were referring back to Malachi chapter 4, those last two verses, and they were saying that before Christ comes, there will be Elijah reappearing, and they'll be turning the hearts of the people back to the Lord. Well, our Lord recognizes that, and he said, that's true. But then he says this in verse 12, but I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not. So our Lord says, yes, that's right. Before Messiah comes, Elijah is going to make an appearance, but he has come, and they didn't know him. And then our Lord says this, but they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. You see, John the Baptist fulfilled the prophecy of Malachi chapter 4. Now you can see that in a little shorter fashion being referred to again by our Lord in Matthew chapter 12. What I am saying is that this interpretation that Elijah has not come, so he must come, is going against what the New Testament is saying, that passage has been fulfilled. Elijah came and he prepared the way of our Lord's coming. He came, as it were, in the spirit and power of the ministry of John the Baptist. Now, they came to John the Baptist in John chapter 1, and they asked him, are you Elijah? And he said no. And that was true. He was not a reincarnation of Elijah. There were some who believed in reincarnation. In fact, Herod thought that of our Lord, that he was really a reincarnation of the death of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was not a reincarnation of Elijah, but he was the fulfillment of that prophecy in Malachi chapter 4. He came in the spirit and power of Elijah. A name in the Old Testament oftentimes signified the character of the individual. And so you have David's name being used of the coming Christ in the book of Ezekiel. In prophecies coming that are dealing with the coming Christ, David's name is used. Here you have Elijah's name being used. And it's fulfilled. The fulfillment of that being used was the ministry of John the Baptist. We interpret the unclear in light of the clear. We believe that the New Testament is the completion of the Old Testament. And we believe that the New Testament gives us the proper interpretation of the Old. If we can help you with some of your studies and questions you have concerning the Word of God, call us at 610-993-3170 or write to us at malvernfpc@yahoo.com. malvernfpc@yahoo.com.